And expect
the worst.
The worst. Hare Krishna. We learned that in one of our previous teachings.
So today's subject matter is it's kind of foundation. Some of you may be builders or engineers or architects or something like that. We have an engineer. Gauridas Pandit Prabhu is a structural engineer. Structural? Civil? Structural?
Civil and structural.
Civil and structural engineer. So if you need any engineering, structural, civil work, he is a professional engineer in that field. And maybe some are anyone an architect? Anyone a builder? No builders? Okay, anyway, everybody knows when you build a house, generally, of course, you have to have the design, you have the engineering, but when you actually start building, I may be wrong, but what do you normally do first? I mean, in general, I'm not talking about little details. So that's already done, all the plan, architect, engineer, all done. Then what do you do next?
Foundation.
I think that's usually the first thing. You don't build the roof first, do you? Put the roof first. And some people, I don't know, some people may. So today is a little more foundational, you could say. And then, His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj and His Holiness Ananda Maharaj will hopefully be helping us to build a building. Prabhupada has built a house for the whole world to live in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the idea? So there's got to be a bit of a foundation there, because for a house to stand, especially in this part of the world, without a foundation, it's a bit shaky, isn't it? You know, without no, in some places they may not make foundations. That may be the case, but generally, if you want to build a big building, you've got to have some kind of foundation. There are different types of foundations. Now, has anyone been to California? You've been to California. Some of you have been to California. Three, the boys, three or four. Have you been there, Kirtida?
No, unfortunately.
Oh, you're hankering to go to California.
Well, my guru there was there, so that's
yes,
right.
That's right. Well, he was there.
Yeah.
But anyway, in California they have some trees. They do have some trees there. And they're famous trees. Maybe they're the most famous trees in California. What are they called?
Redwood.
Sequoia in the local language, is it?
Mm-hmm.
In English we call redwood. They're quite big, aren't they? I've never been there. I've been to California, but I've never seen the redwood trees. They're big, are they?
Yes.
You've seen them? You can drive. Apparently you can drive through some of them. There's roads going through the trunk.
That's not there now anymore.
Huh?
It's not there anymore. Those trees. That one
anyway,
goes under
the spoil sport. Get back to the Arctic. I know you were secrets. Okay, anyway, even if it's not there anymore, the redwoods are still there, aren't they?
Yes, they
are. Okay. Now, I'm only repeating what Radhanath Swami says. Now, we all know that Radhanath Swami, Niranjan Swami, and different devotees have been emphasizing loving relationships, devotional relationships all along. There's a theory to it. There's also a personal, you could say, nature which they have, which is always been like that. It's not something they've learned. They've always been that kind of devotee, you know, concerned about others' welfare, etc. It's always there in them. But anyway, he told this story about this, the redwood trees, you know. You've heard the story of Damodar. Everyone's heard about Damodar, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Leela of the twin Arjun trees and how Krishna, baby Krishna, pulled down the trees. Now in Mauritius, they have, I'm told by Dinabandhu Prabhu, that they have a lot of Arjuna trees. You may not know that. They may have a different name there. And why are they there? They have very, very deep roots. They go down a long way. And it's very hard to tear them out of the ground because you have sometimes cyclones, not only on Mauritius, maybe other islands in the Pacific or the Indian Ocean. They have these trees with very deep roots so they don't get ripped out by the wind. You know? Otherwise, boom, gone. Clear, isn't it? It's quite straightforward. But, however, these redwood trees do not have very deep roots. Yet they're, what, how tall? 300 feet? Big, straight, heavy trees weighing tons. But their roots are very shallow. How is that possible? Because it's near the coast, they get winds, heavy winds sometimes. How is it possible? And the secret, he told, is because they have a different type. Now, in engineering, you also know there's different types of foundations. There's the piling, which you know, go down, deep into the ground, holding it. Piles deep into the ground, holds it firm. There's another type of foundation. There are several. There's a grid foundation, where you have a grid under the building. And it's the same thing with these trees. Now that grid is that they're all knotted together. Wires going down. Same thing with the sequoia or the redwoods. Their roots go down and they bind with each other. They're all bound up, you know, holding each other firm. Even though unless they can grow very tall, even though they go down very deep, but they're very holding tightly to each other like this, associating with each other. And this holds the tree tight, hot, firm and strong, and it can grow up and up and up, and many trees can grow. So, of course, we also say we would like to go, we don't want to go down, by the way, we want to go up. But, you know, you've got to have the roots in the ground also, foundations, to keep our movement strong, to keep our devotion strong, etc., etc. Bonding, like that. So, anyway, that's just a little example. So, associated with devotees, we have to learn to live together, to bind together, to work together, to help this movement of Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, to grow very strong and very broad, and not to be blown over by the many challenges that we face in this lifetime. So many internal challenges, external challenges, all kinds of things go on within and without. So we have to be strong and realize the importance of binding and learning how to bind. So today, we're just going to give some foundations, and then the two Maharajas will be taking us. Then, if we get a little bit of a foundation, they may also put some more, piles or whatever into the foundation. But they'll be helping us to work with it. How to actually practically apply the principles of loving exchange or sadhu sangha. Now, can everyone see? I don't think Arpanu, you can see the screen, can you? You're going to break your neck if you sit there. Why don't you try to relocate your seat? He also needs a chair with his leg. If anyone doesn't need a chair, please give him one. Everyone else, anyone who can vacate a chair, you come and sit in the chair. Okay? Otherwise you're going to have not just a leg problem, but a neck problem. There's nothing worse than looking at a square angle like this to your neck, all for a long time. Okay, if you're driving a car for a few seconds. Not like an hour and a half. So try to locate yourself. There's plenty of room up here. You can sit in front of the table. You can sit here. Please make it more accessible. Some devotees can move up here if you want. Give way to others if you want. So this is, of course, just an introductory scene of Srila Prabhupada in the early days in America, in New York, and somewhere. Early personalities before the movement really started. Prabhupada was giving his association basically to anyone and everybody. And one of the key foundational statements you could say for our movement is this, abbreviated, of course. Your love for me will be shown by how you work and cooperate together. This is a collaborative of a few statements Prabhupada made in the last month of his life, indicating the essential, effectivity of this movement will be based on how we cooperate together. And that's how we have our differences. Now, we're not going to be talking so much about certain aspects of association, which are really important. They're above the surface. Such things as vana ashram, social interactions, counseling systems, mentoring, so many different things which may be developed in order to enhance the principle of bondage, or the principle of binding together, or the principle of sadhu sangha. You know, the whole purpose of vana ashram actually is to bring us to the transcendental plane. But in order to come from where we are to the transcendental plane, there are many things which have to be arranged or facilitated. In a Vedic society, it's not that everybody in a conditional state thinks that they can get on with everybody else in a conditional state. It doesn't work like that. There's a level where you can get along with, but in practical dealings, family life, this, that, the other, it doesn't always work like that. You've got to, different birds of a feather flock together. So, different circumstances, environments, etc., are facilitated. to help the general progress towards the transcendental plane, when we can really associate properly. So we're going to be talking about that objective goal a little bit, mainly on that platform. What is the ultimate goal of all the other things we do? It's not just to make happy families. It's not just to make a nice social arrangement. Many people are trying to do that. The purpose is to develop our love for Krishna. So here is the foundational statement. Your love for me, which means your love for Krishna, will be shown by how you work and cooperate together. One of the Prabhupada's most, as I say, it's taken from a few statements. You won't find it directly, but it's taken from a few statements made by Prabhupada, and that's the result, that's the actual essence of what he was saying. Now, Prabhupada says, this is in Los Angeles, a letter, Prabhupada wrote the letter to Upendra Prabhu in 1970. Now all my disciples must work combinedly and with cooperation to spread this Sankirtan movement. If you cannot work together, then my work is stopped off. Our society is like one big family, and our relationship should be based on love and trust. We must give up the fighting spirit and use our intelligence to push ahead. You should accept help from your godfathers. That's pretty self-explanatory, as Prabhupada's will, that we learn how to work together and what that means. Cooperation, of course, is another thing. It's a subject we're not going to get into detail today at all, but it's an important subject, how to cooperate. Very simple. You just do what I say and keep quiet, okay? Cooperation. It's easy, right? I remember one thing. I was in one city. I won't mention the name of the city in case somebody will guess who I'm talking about. I was in one city in the world for quite some time, and there was one temple in that city, and so there was another senior devotee, Grace, even more senior than the temple class, who would like to come there and start a preaching session. And I said, do you have any objection if we try to facilitate him? The big city, you know, like 8 or 6 million people. If we try to facilitate this? And he said, I've got no objection, as long as he does exactly what I tell him to. He wasn't very enthusiastic about it, so that never happened. But anyway, it's not quite like that. Working cooperatively is a little bit more to it. Our society is devotees. We should not only practice to love God, but we should make friendship and love the devotees also. That doesn't mean the material. I kind of looked this up, you know, loving relationships on the internet yesterday. And you know what you get when you look up loving relationships. It's not quite what we mean here. Learn to love the devotees. You can imagine what it is. It depends which site you go on, but it's all kinds of different things to what we're referring to. It's not that we're going to go around, you know, hugging and kissing each other all over the place, you know. Not like that. That does come in a little bit, and it has its place maybe in certain. But it goes much deeper than just a skin deep. It may only just start with an appreciation of the fact that, like, what have we got here? What do we bring with each other? Grangi, some liquid jam? Whoa. Oh no, it's not. I thought there was a loving exchange going on. The dynamic. Keeping it secret now. Open here. Made from some local herbs in Bodensdale. Powerful potent from Boden. It is the nature of the soul to not only intensely love Krishna, but also to intensely love his devotees. That's pretty easy to understand. Indeed, Krishna wants us to be devotees of his devotees, not his direct devotees. That's another way we understand how we love Krishna. Sometimes we love this wrong idea. Oh, I love Krishna. I don't love you, but I love Krishna. I don't like this movement. I love Krishna. There's many things. But, you know, if you love Krishna, like you'd probably say, if you love a man, you have to love the dog, isn't it? You don't try to say, go up to the man, hey, I really like you, man. And you kick the dog over the wall. Hey, what are you doing? Come on. He won't be very happy. So we're looking for loving exchanges. Look at that. Oh, boy. Oh.
heart starts to flutter.
Loving the Buddha, that's really good. So let's look at some way, some foundational way. Now, here's a very good way that we can love the Buddha.
We're following Krishna Bhavan's example.
The great man does come amends for us. We say it, you know, get your sticks out. Whack if they don't agree. Even if they try to defend themselves, eh? A great painting, isn't it? Really good. Wow, look at that. Ooh, I bet some of us would like to imitate that one. I feel like it's something. Okay, now let's look at some of the more safe, maybe the proper ways to approach it. Okay? Now, I might need a little help with the next one. Oh, there it is. Can you understand that one? That's the best way to associate with devotees. Just blank out. Don't do anything, just completely void. No, don't talk, don't do anything. Right? No problems, right? All's easy. That's the best way, isn't it? Better I just go in the forest and just, you know, go up on the moors and just sit up there with a sheep all day long. Chant or something. Just meditate. Yes, now let me see. Now, I might need some brain here. I've got no brain, so I might need some. Let me see what I can do. Rishi, you're going to have to help me here. You told me this would work. I don't know how it works. Can you help me, Rishi?
Rishi
told me it would work, but it doesn't seem to be working to me. This is a video. It is, indeed. I don't know how it will work.
It's playing.
Oh, we're not. Yeah. There it goes. Great. Take your hands off. Oh, look at this. Where's the sound on here? Where's the sound? Put the sound on. There's no sound. Hold on. Start again. Can we go back? Stop it. We've got to get the sound working on the computer. Sorry about the interlude. Now this is a very interesting way that loving relationships can be developed. This experiment. Where is it? Where's the microphone? Where's the
yeah.
Oh, here we go. Don't block the screen. Whatever you do, look at this. Ah! Loving relationships at their best. This is from the orcs. How we deal with problems. Bring it into the open. What's going on? Oh no, what's that? Oh my god, what's happening? Oh no, what's this? That's pretty low.
Evo!
That's it. Thank you all very much for coming. Okay. Jai Prabhupada. Nicely done, huh?
Yes.
Where was that fighting scene from originally? Where is it from? Lord of the Rings or something? Anyway, whatever it was, that wasn't a very good resolution, obviously. We downloaded it yesterday morning. Somehow or another, Mahamantra got it down and put it on the computer. It was a very well done thing by the boys in Russia, and they transformed it. What was the original thing? I think it was an advertisement. I think someone put it up as an advertisement for something else or something. They changed it to Hare Krishna. Very well, nice, nicely done. And that's really the solution. In a deep sense of the term, our whole movement is based on that principle of really coming together, which, you know, we'll hear about that in a minute. All of you, Prabhupada says here, this is Lord Prabhupada, did say something about that too, but this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this is Srila Prabhupada talking here about, translating the words of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was saying, this is just an example of loving exchange between the Lord and his devotees. All of you come to see me every year, the Lord said. To come here and then return must certainly give you great trouble, just like you've all come here today from Leicester, from York, from overseas. Mauritius come from a long way, from Moscow. You went to Moscow after Mauritius?
Yeah.
You were in Mauritius on Tuesday?
No, no. Last week.
Oh, the week before.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've gone Moscow to here. It's a long way. Of course, on the plane, it doesn't take as long as much longer than it does to come from Leicester, practically speaking. Still, it's a long way. Someone's hassle going through the airports. It's a lot of effort to come here, Dayananda Maharaj. Many of you have got up early in the morning. Rory Das Panic Prabhu must have got up very early this morning to get here by 7:30. What time are you running? Something like
that. Half 7.
Half 7. That's 7:30, same thing. Whatever it is, you know, come a long way, and it's great difficulty. The organizers put so much effort in, so much difficulty just to come here. The Lord Chaitanya and his disciples, of course, the followers rather, they've come from Bengal and here and there. To come here and then return must certainly give you great trouble. I would like to forbid you to do this, but I enjoy your company so much that my desire for your association only increases. I order Sri Nityananda Prabhu not to leave Bengal, but he has transgressed my order and come to see me. What can I say? Hare Krishna. Out of his causeless mercy upon me, Advaita Acharya has also come here. I am indebted to him for his affectionate behavior. This debt is impossible for me to liquidate. He's thinking how I owe, you know, it's not, you know, Lord Chaitanya himself is thinking, I owe a debt. Advaita Acharya, his mercy to me has come here to give me his association. This is how the Lord is thinking. Leaving aside their homes and families, they travel by very difficult paths to come here in great haste. There is no fatigue or trouble for me, for I stay here at Neelachala, Jagannath Puri, and do not move at all. This is the favor of all of you. I am a mendicant, and I have no money. How can I clear my debt for the favor you have shown me? I have only this body, and therefore I surrender it unto you. Now, if you wish, you may sell it anywhere you like. It is your property. This is an interesting mood of Lord Chaitanya, the mood of a devotee, of being the servant of the servant's servant. To basically, we're offering ourselves in that way. Please engage me in your service. Anyway, that's another topic of interest. When all the devotees heard these sweet words of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their hearts melted, and they began to shed incessant tears. Catching all hold of his devotees, the Lord embraced them all and began to cry and cry. You see the sweet mood of Lord Chaitanya and his Sangha with his associates. Completely accept. There's nothing, not asking, not asking anything in return. It's not like a, you know, some kind of business arrangement or anything, hoping to get something in return. It's just out of sheer love. And we'll hear about that a little bit later. I am completely... the Lord said, Lord Narayan said this to Durvasa Muni, I believe, in ninth canto. Yeah, okay. I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent, because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires. No motivation other than love to Krishna. We try to develop that. Of course, there's a lot to do in order to develop it. I sit only within the cores of their heart. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. And we can see from the example of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how his devotees were so dear because of Haridas Thakur. And how Lord Chaitanya loved Haridas so much. Even as Haridas was quitting his body, how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came out of his way and stayed with Haridas right through till after the samadhi, personally collected for the feast, personally served the feast, personally put him into samadhi, personally carried the body of Haridas Thakur, fulfilling the desire of his
pure devotees.
So by hearing about these pure devotees, now one of the great secrets in spiritual life is to hear about the glorious teachings, of course, but the dealings of these great devotees, like Haridas Thakur, like Rupa Goswami. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes how by hearing about these great devotees, one develops confidence, one develops determination and great satisfaction. And we see how they deal with devotees. We learn from their Siksha gurus. You know, we become purified, we get realization just by that association. Because that association is the root cause of devotional service to Lord Krishna. It's association with advanced devotees. Even when one's dormant love for Krishna awakens, association with devotees is still most essential. So the famous way that, you know, Rupa Goswami explains how we can develop as well as maintain these relationships in a very practical and simple way, which I'm not going to get into detail at all. Vidati Patiginati Vyamatyati Pritchati Bhukti Bhutai Techaivas and Vidam Vikila Shanam. And many of you know this verse from the Nectar of Instruction of Vidishamita. So these are very simple, material, spiritual. This is a common event. And amongst devotees, this is a very wonderful way of developing relationships, even if they're a little sour sometimes or distant, to develop a positive relationship. You could say it's more person to person, but still, it's a foundational statement. Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, accepting prasadam, offering prasadam are the six symptoms of love, shared by one devotee and another. They have great opportunities here in this little gathering to practically apply this principle of Upadeshamrita instructions for us all, for neophyte devotees, particularly said. These are instructions to help enhance our bhakti or our devotion. So take advantage of these six things while you're here, when applicable. Fourth thing, but when applicable. In the purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada elaborately describes these exchanges and comments. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness has been established to facilitate these six kinds of loving exchanges between devotees. Now that's an interesting statement. He says different things, different places, but here in the purport, Prabhupada said this movement has been established to facilitate these kinds of loving exchanges. And we see that with the six Goswamis, how much they had such wonderful loving exchanges, of course in their case on the transcendental plane, but they also integrated and shared with people in general in so many different ways to encourage people in general to connect with Krishna. And what is it that's keeping us from connecting with Krishna? What is it that's keeping us? What is it that's causing the problem? Maybe it's something to do with envy of Krishna, causes envy of others. In this material world, everyone is envious of everyone else. But by vibrating or discussing the holy name of the Lord, one becomes non-envious and devoid of material hankering. Because of our envy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have become envious of all other living entities. When we are no longer envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there will be real peace, unity, and fraternity in human society. You can see that was the first of the principle in the incorporation document of ISKCON. The very first one was to bring unity and peace in society. That was Prabhupada's desire. One of those techniques, to bring people together, most of those incorporation documents is aimed at this, bringing people together with Krishna in the center so we can actually become free of envy and have a society favorable for cultivating Krishna consciousness. And so on. All built around that. And what is that association? As we heard from Maharaj last night, we come together and we take prasadam, right? That's what I said. We sit around eating all day long. So we take it. There's more to it than that. Here we see Lord Chaitanya, an interesting association with some of the Mayavadis, previous Mayavadis of Varanasi, and how, you know, he's brought them all to this platform of real unity, not this artificial unity, falsity, but the real unity with Krishna in the center. Krishna-conscious people should be so nice that as soon as they meet together, they talk about the weather. Right. As soon as they meet together, they talk about the weather. My eyesight's fading. What you're saying? Krishna. They talk about Krishna. Oh my goodness.
They talk about Krishna. Have you got anything better to talk about? Don't you guys talk about anything else but Krishna? You must be really boring talking about Krishna all the time. Things about Krishna. What? Very boring. Whoops, here we go. Talk about Krishna. They try to understand Krishna and they feel pleasure in that way. Yes, it is. I'm sure we've all experienced how pleasurable it is. And you forget other things. And the hankering for other things kind of goes into the background. And then again, we stop talking, we get back into other things. But it's a fact that when we're sitting together, well, say, we are trying to make a Krishna consciousness society to give this opportunity to people. How one should be engladdened by seeing a devotee and talk with them about Krishna, forgetting their designations. That is Krishna consciousness. That's a pretty important statement. It covers a lot of things. I'm not going to go into detail. You have to meditate on these things. Service to Krishna is the perfection of all relationships. There you go. Perfection. Our center of activities is Krishna. And if we are actually Krishna conscious, there will always be full cooperation between ourselves for the satisfaction of Krishna. Now, wouldn't that be nice? Well, isn't that beautiful painting? It's got such a nice mood about it. I love that painting. And especially I like Madhu Manga. Ladu Sadhu. Madhu Manga. He likes ladus. Can you see in there, little brown fella? Ladus in both hands. He really likes his ladus. I like ladus too. Amongst some people, I'm famous for my ladu intake. Is it good? Yeah? Is it right? Looking, it's a nice painting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really, yeah. Of course, it's pretty good on the screen. It's not 100%, but it's still pretty good. Really good. Wow. Wouldn't you like to be there? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have a party? We can all go out and do it outside in the field, outside here afterwards. Huh? Sit in the field with, you know, fruits and ladus and just put our cheddar on and a turban and have a drama. And we can call the ambulances afterwards. Association with devotees means association with the Lord. The devotee who makes this association develops the consciousness for rendering service to the Lord. And then, being situated in the transcendental position of devotional service, he gradually becomes perfect. Develop the consciousness for rendering service. Now, when we develop a film, nowadays we have digital, but previously we had the negative film, yeah? When you develop it, if you develop it in the light, what happens? Well, you get nothing, yeah? Finish, rubbish. But when you have to develop in a certain environment, right? And then the positive comes, and you get the nice picture. Right? Like that, the association of the void. We develop our Krishna consciousness in the environment, as was mentioned at ABCD, ABCD is something. Did you mention it?
Chaitanya.
No, Chaitanya Balabha mentioned it, yeah. Sorry, Chaitanya. There's some sticks outside, you can beat me with that. But yes, so this is the environment. We develop it in the association of the devotees. Out of that. Skin relationships. Here we go. Relations of the soul. This is one of the illusions. One of the effects of envy of Krishna is we develop this, judgmentalism based on skin considerations. Relations of the soul. Establishing relation with the Supreme Soul are factual relations. The skin relationship is the cause of material bondage, but the relation of the soul is the cause of freedom. This relation of the soul to the soul can be established by the via media of the relation with the super soul. And that's why following the instruction of the spiritual master, the external manifestation of the super soul is the spiritual master, and his words are the words of the super soul. So we try to apply those words, and this will gradually bring unity amongst us. Putting aside our differences, etc., on the conditional platform. Seeing in the darkness is not seeing. We're all in the darkness right now. We think we know what's going on. But by Shastra Chakshus, by seeing through the eyes of Scripture, coming through the sadhu, then gradually we can start to see things. But seeing by the light of the sun means to see the sun and everything else which was unseen in the darkness. And there we see, talk about skin, I'd say condition, considerations, the infection of judging people according to skin. Lord Chaitanya, well, we can't imitate Lord Chaitanya, we can't go into the jungles of the Pennines and start dancing. What do they have in the Pennines? Do they have any bears? Or deer, okay.
Rabbits.
Rabbits, we have dangerous animals lurking in the Pennines.
Mosquitoes.
I think the humans are the most dangerous.
Midges.
Midges. Midges. They have midges. They can do kirtan with midges. deadly midges, or whatever it is. I don't know what we've got up here. The Lord Chaitanya, there he is. You know, they transcended, because Lord Chaitanya is the super soul in everyone's heart as well, so he can easily inspire that within their hearts. Nonetheless, Prabhupada said that even a dog can take part in this movement. Anyone can benefit from this Sankirtan movement. This is universal brotherhood, bringing everyone together, not like in a physical house, but in a house of consciousness with Krishna in the center. And all living entities, if you haven't got one with me, the animals in Krishna consciousness explains some of those examples of that in our modern life, of animals coming to Krishna consciousness, etc., etc. So it is possible. But one way said, well, Srila Prabhupada, you're more than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For Lord Chaitanya, then Prabhupada said, no, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he delivered the animals in the Jharkhand forest. We can't do that. We can't imitate. Then the devotee very cleverly said, yes, but Srila Prabhupada, you have delivered the animals in the jungle also. Dui Pari Pashu, the two-legged animals in the jungles of New York, the concrete jungles of Newcastle, Leicester, of York, and wherever you're from, huh? The concrete Sunderland, the concrete jungles. And there you are. And the most dangerous things are human beings, isn't it? Really speaking, I mean, two-legged animal, whatever you want to call it, but they're really dangerous. Many years ago. Dangerous living in this world, especially today in these cities, because you cannot be united on the material platform. That is not possible, because on the material platform means on the body concept of life. I am this body. I am Indian. I am American. I am Christian. And we had a lovely devotee at the Rathiatra in Leeds the other day, isn't it? Who was at the Leeds Rathiatra the other day? Anybody else? Only two or three of you? Did you see him at the end? Did you see that? Well, I've never met such a wonderful Christian in my life. He was so enthusiastic. You didn't see him, Maharaj? Oh, you would have known if you'd seen him. I'll tell you. Oh, boy. Geez, it almost ended up like Balaram and Krishna dealing with those Yadavas, you know? Oh, my goodness, was he irritated. I've never seen anyone. He was a complete nut. But anyway, besides that. Oh, anyway, I won't get into it. But you know, this whole bodily identification. I am a Christian. It's not. It's a bodily. I am a Hindu. I am a Brahmin. I am a Muslim. Whatever it is. I am a Shudra. These are all bodily identifications. Lord Chaitanya says, what does he say? He says, I am a Brahmin. I am a Hindu. I am Indian. Is that what he said? What did he say? Yes. Naham vipro na cha narapatir na pivai sho na shudo naham vanin griyapatir no vanastro yatira kintu pho jan nikila paramananda puram. Remember that? Gopi bhakta padakamalam dasa dasa anudasa. What am I?
Servant.
Oh, the maid servants, the gopis, servants of Krishna. Without God, it's simply material. Integrity, this is interesting, little one. It's again, foundation, we have to understand it in perspective. We place a good deal of emphasis on religion, this is integral, in the way it gets one man to deal with another man. It's a big thing, you know. Prabhupada, no, our point is not that. We are not concerned with how one man deals with another man. Okay? Let's just say, there's a lot more to it, you could say, in that meditation. This is not important, because we know that as soon as one understands how to deal with God, he'll automatically deal with other men very nicely. Mm-hmm. If we're all part and parcel of God, mm-hmm. It's like the same thing. You feed the leaves, or water the leaves, and water the, you know, you've got to water the root, then automatically everything's served, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Put Krishna in the center, everything is served. Mm-hmm. The stomach, if you don't feed the stomach, you push it in the ear. We've got to look after the ear. We've got to feed the ear. okay, put your samosa in the ear. You know, it doesn't work, you know. As people are all, they're all trying to water the leaves or feed the ears and the legs and this and that. They don't realize by this simple process of watering the root, of understanding how we can play our part in that, then automatically other things start to improve and become healthier. Relationships, everything become healthier. Because we'll see everybody has part and parcel of Krishna. Beautiful painting of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Where is he there?
Gundicha.
Look at him. What's he doing?
Cleaning.
He's cleaning himself. Everyone's cleaning and working together in ecstasy, working together for pleasure. Lord Jagannath. The Sangha, when we work together, serve together. It's so nice. This is basically one of the essential factors, doing things together, putting aside our own. You know, when Prabhupada would come, we did a drama in New Mayapur the other day. Prabhupada's coming. And it's like that, you know, devotees, I mentioned you actually, Maharaj, the other day in this drama, because I was just mentioning how when Prabhupada came in 1977 to the manor, if you remember, most of the devotees were away on Sankirtan. We only had a few days notice, and we had to really get going, didn't we? Clean the place up. We knew it wasn't in such clean shape. And I remember back to Chaitanya Maharaj, and the weather suddenly turned sour. It was middle of summer, practically, but it was like this time, a bit late in August. And the weather was nice, and then suddenly it started pouring. I mean, the rain and the temperature went down. And Maharaj, his duty was to go into the lake, one of them, maybe he had others too, to go in the lake and clean the lake. I remember seeing you in the lake at the manor, cleaning out the lake. And the weather was horrible. I got sick, I don't know about you. We had like 2 days' notice of saying Prabhupada was coming. But, you know, that's what happens. Everyone puts aside, oh, Prabhu, I don't care about that, I'm too tired, you know, I'm not going to do it with him. You know, when you put the Acharya or put Krishna in the center, stop it. It doesn't matter what you think or where you're from. Everyone works together. I've got a brilliant example. I was in Sydney, in Australia, a New Gokul. Anyone been to New Gokul farm near Australia? Who's that? Prem Sankirtan. You were there? You think so. It's a farm near Sydney. And one day, we're in the middle of a Sunday feast. Woo-hoo! Fantastic feast. Not many of us, about 20 or 30 people were there that day. It was a small one. In the middle, just about to serve the Sunday feast, and the farmer was away, and he left it in the hands of the new bhakta. He didn't really know much. The new bhakta came into the temple and said, Prabhu, I need help. One of the cows has fallen into the dam. They have dams up on the side of the hill there. No? And one of the cows has fallen. They didn't know how long. They're stuck in the dam. It was the evening now. And then, can I have some help, please? Samosas, lads are just coming around. And, the devotees weren't over-enthusiastic or convinced about the need. But a few of us kind of, okay, let's go. So a few of us got up and set off with this young bhakta to the dam, and sure enough, there was a young cow stuck in the mud, kind of in the dam, and kind of probably been there hours, really suffering. So we kind of thought, what are we going to do? You know, we put some kind of like thing around it, but it wasn't moving. And we got into the water and tried to push. It was like nothing. And eventually, the message got down. More and more devotees came up. Eventually, we got the cow out of the dam, onto the edge of the dam. You know, we've already arranged some mattresses and things, some blankets and things, and wrapped it around it and stuff onto it. It's freezing cold. We've been in the dam for hours and hours and hours on end. And it was probably in September, October. It was quite well down. No, it was this time. This is the winter down there. It's the winter. This time of the year is the winter, so it is really cold. And it was frozen. It was literally, the legs were almost stiff. Someone, fortunately, managed to call the vet. The vet came out and did some injections and said, there's only one hope for this cow. Before the night comes down, you've got to get it in some warm area and massage it all night long. See what it can do. So we did. Somehow or another, the tractor didn't work. Then eventually we got the tractor, the key was lost, and all sorts of things. We pulled them on these like tarpaulins with, you know, mattresses on top. We pulled the cow down the fields across paddocks and down. Somehow or another, you know, it was an ordeal. And eventually we got into the barn. We got the cow in the barn. Everyone was there, women, men, everyone. Nobody really cared what they were, you know. Friends and enemies, old and young. Everyone was doing their best, you know, to get that cow into the barn. We got the cow in the barn, and then we all started massaging. We made a schedule, you know, like 3 hours shift. But we didn't follow, like you're not following the schedule here. We didn't follow the schedule here. Nobody left. Nobody left. Like 5 o'clock in the morning, everyone was still there. Massaging, massaging, massaging. Arms, legs, everything. Women, men, everything. Who cared less? It did not matter. Because what mattered was the cow, right? Mm. That's what mattered. And all designations went away. It's a nice example. And the same thing in devotion. We have, of course, we have other considerations, but in principle, putting Krishna in the center, we learn how to relate what is the needful, how to appreciate, how to understand, how to serve, and so on and so forth. It's the essential foundation of actual, real, loving relationships. And there are many other things which need to be done in order to come. That's why Varnashram is there, that's why societies are there, that's why all sorts of arrangements are made to help us to come to that point. The business of Krishna-conscious persons is to enjoy by mutual association on the basis of understanding Krishna from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. One of the problems is we don't hear enough together with devotees. That's one of the problems. So when you become three together, you should utilize your time for discussion on Krishna and chanting Hare Krishna. Very nice. One should learn how to associate with the devotees of the Lord by gathering with them to chant the glories of the Lord. This process is most purifying. Satam pasangam avirya sangvido bhavanti vidkanam saina kata tajoshanarashvapavagavatvani shudaratir bhakti vidukramishyati. Just like the sages gather to hear great sadhus speak, thousands and thousands gather to hear Bhagavatam. In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of God, it is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and thereafter is freed and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begin. Paul says the process of advancing in Krishna consciousness and devotional service is described here. The first point is that one must seek the association of persons who are Krishna conscious and who engage in devotional service. Without such association, one cannot make advancement. Simply by theoretical knowledge or study, one cannot make any appreciable advancement. One must give up the association of materialistic persons and seek the association of devotees. This will be discussed by Sakya Chaitanya Maharaj. Because without the association of devotees, one cannot understand the activities of the Lord. We need that association, even if we're very advanced. Looks a little like Porter's tail, doesn't it? A little bit. I read there was some kind of Lee Mountain, fast-looking vegetation. Wherever pure topics of the transcendental world are discussed, the members of the audience forget all kinds of material hankering, at least for the time being. Not only that, but they are no longer envious of one another, nor do they suffer from anxiety or fear. And that's the secret, you know. Not to just unwrangle everything all the time, but we've got to take the medicine as well. The medicine which will cure us of the very disease is called the identification, envious Krishna. There is a great need to propagate the Krishna conscious movement in the world so that even though people sometimes become angry and malicious towards one another, because of their being Krishna conscious, such rivalry, competition and envy can be adjusted without difficulty. This fact, the key to Vaishnava relationships and the cornerstone of Vajratana's teachings is to become as humble as a blade of grass, as tolerant as a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige. It would be nice if the other speakers maybe take this on board a little bit and develop this principle of Krishna consciousness. Devoid of all sense of false prestige and ready to offer all respect to others. Respect means to consider here is a person who has come to Krishna. He is therefore glorious and indeed worshipable by me. Respect is thus based upon appreciation. When a devotee develops this appreciation, he takes pleasure in glorifying the qualities of others. Then automatically the tendency towards fault finding and envy decreases. You see everyone at the mercy of Krishna, an opportunity to be to serve him. How can I serve him? How can I help them to become Krishna conscious? Or how can I serve them? Whatever it may be. that Lord Chaitanya offered himself to his own devotees. Is Raghunatha? Raghunatha. Yeah, I know Lord Chaitanya wants to take the remnants of Raghunatha's, you know, broken rice, which he was living, subsisting on in Jagannathpuri. And Lord Chaitanya was like this, he was reciprocating with his dear devotees. Always loved his devotees. Here's a nice statement you can see there. You probably recognize him, Gopal Krishna Maharaj and Raghunatha Maharaj. If we want to have good Vaishnava relationships, our endeavor should be not only to speak words that are truthful, not only to speak words that are beneficial, but also to speak them in a manner that does not agitate. Sometimes we know what to say, but the way we say it, the way we, you know, the way we communicate it, the message isn't important. It's the mood, it's the way we do it sometimes, which undoes whatever the intention of the words is, you know, creates more distance rather than, you know, binding. So also the way, and that's an art, and that's something which we may not be very expert at, but this is Gopal Krishna, I speak like that. Learning how to speak qualitative is really clear, how to speak words which are qualitative, effective words, not pregnant, but according to time and circumstance. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami is an example of a perfectly non-envious devotee, Chaitanya Charitamrita says that he would not listen to blasphemy of the Vaishnava, nor would he listen. That wasn't blasphemy of the Vaishnava, I hope. He wouldn't listen to it, it was. He would not listen to blasphemy of the Vaishnava, nor would he listen to talk of the Vaishnava's misbehavior. He knew only that everyone was engaged in Krishna's service. He did not understand anything else. What's the use of talking about the faults of the devotee if he can't help them? What's the use? What's the benefit? You should only talk words which are beneficial, which are actually valued. Otherwise, keep the mouth shut. One should never forget to be humble in dealings. If every one of us conducts our business in that spirit of Prabhu and servant, then there is very little chance of being misunderstood. Sometimes misunderstandings may take place, but it should be adjusted in the spirit of service attitude to the Prabhu. That was 67. That was right from the beginning. It is easy to make, this is from my own thing. It is easy to make friendship, but difficult to sustain. Through the fickleness of mind, friendship is broken by minor differences. And the Father said, you know, it's so much blood to bring one person to Krishna consciousness, and one word can break it. Or one action can break it. And if we're very conscious of that, and we're here to serve, we're here to awaken, and others, Krishna consciousness. It's not a mutual praising society, your father said. There has to be sincere understanding for friendship to develop. There has to be something substantial. You can't make a friend by flattery. You cannot simply cry, I love you, I love you. That will not create a loving. Father said, they are all asses, camels, dogs. This is how we should treat them. Cruel asses and camels and dogs. There's a funny, there was one Spanish devotee to this kind of a comic on Brahmachari jokes. I don't know if you ever saw it much. There's a Brahmachari joke book. And one of the jokes was this Brahmachari. He just heard in the lecture in the temple that, you know, everybody in this world is like a dog and a cat and an ass, you know, asses, dogs, camels, and whatever else they are, like that one. Dogs. He just heard it. He just heard it. That's not. Is that the battery going down? So he just heard that. So he's out there. You know that Harinam. You know, sometimes we stop and want the body gives lecture. You know, to the public, and there's a whole big crowd gathered around. And said, "This is a society of dogs and asses." He's telling everybody, you know, the audience. Everyone in this world is no better than an ass, a dog, and this and that. And so, you know, the people are like looking at each other, wondering what he's talking about. And suddenly all these crowds of dogs and cats all suddenly come right in front of him, their tails wagging and looking. This is a society of dogs and cats. They're all there listening to him. Like being a bit out of touch with how to present Krishna consciousness in a way which is digestible, which is secret. So Prabhupada says, we must learn how to properly associate with devotees for our mutual benefit and the satisfaction of Krishna. However intelligent or expert we may be in our service, if we cannot maintain good relationships, we cannot be happy. And if we cannot live happily together, our movement cannot be successful. This is actually not God. This is a commentary from the Bhakti Kashmir. Nor is there any question of establishing Varna Shranda. Acharya in the center, because it means the same thing, Krishna. I wish that each and every branch shall keep their independent identity and cooperate, keeping the Acharya in the center. On this principle, we can open any number of branches all over the world. The Ramakrishna Mission, here's maybe the only client Prabhupada gives some credit to the Ramakrishna Mission. The Ramakrishna Mission works on this principle, and thus, as organization, they have done wonderfully. Interesting. And that was an early letter too, 67. And this Prabhupada personally demonstrated how, you know, he quit keeping the Acharya in the center, and however, you know, this, all the problems go aside. It's when the Acharya in the center means we remember Krishna. And personal things, we can take it in another way too. When, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta, and these are statements of Bhaktisiddhanta, he gives so many clues how we can take differences and difficulties and so on as actually a kind of an opportunity to really advance in Krishna consciousness with a godsend in one sense. So look within, amend yourself, rather than pride, and he probably knows it too, the frailties of others. In other words, don't just try to find fault in others. You know? One time, some devotees, they were with Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, and they asked Guru Maharaj's son, should we vent our anger on those who are envious of Krishna? You know, we hear about Hanuman and Arjuna and this and that. So, yes, we should. But first, we should understand who is envious of Krishna. And when I look at myself, I find no one more envious of Krishna than me. So to whom should I vent my anger? You have to start. Charity begins at home. So this is charity. Actually purifying your own mind. Looking at self-realization. I'm not just pointing the finger at everybody else. It's quite easy to do that, isn't it? It's what Krishna's telling us. See within your own mind. What you're seeing there is often a reflection anyway of our own consciousness. When faults in others misguide and delude you, have patience, introspect, find faults in yourself. Know that others cannot harm you unless you harm yourself. To learn to tolerate is one of the most important responsibilities of those living in the mat. My advice is do not criticize others. Try to rectify yourself. Let me not desire anything but the highest good for my worst enemies. People who think they're enemies. Here is a person, that's a nice statement. Here is a person who has come to Krishna. He is therefore glorious and indeed worshipable by me. Respect is thus based upon appreciation. When a devotee develops this appreciation, he takes pleasure in glorifying the qualities of others, and automatically the tendency towards fault finding and envy decreases. Chandan Acharya, one of the early devotees in San Francisco, if we love our God brothers, is that also loving Krishna? Oh yes, because they are Krishna, of Krishna, not Krishna, they are of Krishna. What are your God brothers? They are Krishna's servants. So if you do not love your God brothers, that means you reject your part of Krishna. They're part of Krishna. You see it. Even if there's some temporary, materially conditional difficulty you have to take into account and deal with on a higher level, everyone is part of our body, part of the finger, the nails, the toes, the hairs, all part of our body, we respect them all. It is said by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that even if one is a Vaishnava, if he is not a good character, his company should be avoided. Although he may be offered respect to a Vaishnava, anyone who accepts Vishnu as the Supreme Personality of God is expected as a Vaishnava, but a Vaishnava is expected to develop all the good qualities of a demigod, and I think Maharaj will develop on that later on today. Realization of the Lord is possible only in the association of devotees. Important group. Srimad Bhagavatam states that one who desires his ultimate self-interest should cultivate friendship with those persons who have accepted Krishna as the Lord of their life. Now, what is the time?
It's about 7 minutes.
Okay. Despite the hitches at the beginning, we're running on time. And we have a few more, just two or three more. These are just, again, leaves, this next book for us. Some basic statements on different aspects of association and relationships and so on with devotees and in the light of Krishna consciousness, not separate from Krishna consciousness, but the root. Keep Krishna in the center, the root of our success with that, we follow the authority of Krishna in the center. As you'll see, if you read the Princess, if we sing, it would be nice if we could sing it together, Martinet Bhagavad Dhamma, not now, but you know, have time. It's a beautiful poem, song, of actually about Srila Prabhupada. And it was his first writing in the Western world, and it's like a mission statement, in one sense, of our movement, how we can succeed, how we can work together, how we can become on Krishna. So here are some areas of association which may need some discrimination. These are just, as I say, these are good pointers, there's no discussion. Devotees in general, we have to learn to associate. Families and family life is also both devotee family and non-devotee family. Association has to associate. Other Vaishnava groups, such as, can be quite an important issue. Authorities, how to associate with varieties of authorities both ways. Gurus, senior devotees, opposite sex, public, law, different things, many other things we can disappear. Different forms of association. Primarily we're dealing with in-house devotee association, maybe, amongst the congregation and so on. But all these are different forms which we have to associate with animals, so many things. How to associate with a sheep, so many things. Important to learn how to associate with a sheep while you're up here. Unity and diversity, okay, this is the topic, but I'll just touch on it briefly. The process of unity does not stand on the plane of enjoyment or renunciation. The real unity stands on the plane of service, which is transcendental to all mundane enjoyments or renunciations. That is the plane of spirit. And some points on that. Bring unity, tolerance, sweetness, compassion, forgiveness, humility, serving together, frankness, straightforwardness. Integrity, revealing one's mind, which negotiates. If we do not have relationships with devotees, the tendency will be to look elsewhere. Try to hear others and understand them. See others as Krishna's representatives. Learn from others. Appreciate others' service. We are meant to be the servant of servants. Different types of meditation. But there are many more, and other doers will take it further. And last slide in this presentation. This Sankirtan movement, started by the Society for Krishna Consciousness, is meant for creating Vaikuntha, a transcendental world that is without anxiety, in this material world. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai!
Hare Krishna. Here we are, solution again. No problem. There's no problem. Only problems of your own perspective, and Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj himself will emphasize it. There's no need to think, the world needs reform. Sometimes people think, well, we have to reform the world. And he said, the one who thinks they can reform the world is in need of reform. No one can reform the world. I was an instrument in the hands of the Lord, playing whatever part I play, even the demons. They're all ultimately under Krishna's direction. Karma and so on involved. But the only reform that's needed is the reform of our own, in our own heart, our own perception. And that can be evoked by hearing carefully, exposing ourselves to the transcendental sound vibration of the holy name of Srimad Bhagavatam and so on. That's how our heart is changed. Other things may have certain effects. It's like in medicine, you know, you can take some stopgap measures to stop the pain and a little bit of a cure. But you've got to get to the root. What's the cause? What's the cause of the problem? The cause of the problem. And stop doing the things which cause the problem. So the main thing in our case is we're envious of Krishna. So activities which will help to release or change that envious perception. Because envious of Krishna means we're being envious of his energies in various ways. So to turn that through devotional service where everything becomes channeled towards Krishna's pleasure. That's how we change our heart. Particularly through chanting here in the association. So any questions or comments? I hope you've had the loudspeakers outside for the sheep also to hear. Yes? What is your good name?
Swati.
Swati?
Swati.
Swati. Swati.
Hare Krishna. So I just want to ask a small thing.
To everybody here?
Yeah.
Even I can hear.
He can't hear.
You speak, it's okay, it's good. I can hear you.
So you're saying that, you're saying that we have to respect everyone, like we see Krishna in everyone, right?
Well, that's one of the, you know, we may not be on that level to see Krishna everywhere. Theoretically, maybe we can understand.
Yeah.
But maybe it'll take a little time to realize.
But you said that, Krishna is in our heart, like in everyone's heart. Yeah. So why sometimes, like they say, I don't want this body, because body is the home of temple, and, the Krishna resides in our heart. So when we say, I'm not this body, so that means, are we disrespecting our body? Because when Krishna is inside our heart, so we should love our body, and I'm not sure whether we can say that I'm not this body.
Yeah, it's a good argument, isn't it? It's good. Nice. I think I've got something wrong here. That's pretty good. Well, thank you for that. Well, we can have a good time now. Okay. Bonfire tonight, party, okay? We can have a good party tonight at the bonfire outside. We're going down to where's the bonfire? Down at the lake? Where is it going to be? Up on the hill?
Just
up there. You'll be lucky. Anyway, yeah, thank you for that point. Well, when the statement is that Krishna's in the heart, it is not referring exactly. Like, you've heard of heart transplants?
Yeah.
Heart transplants? Does that mean that, the soul is also in the heart? Does that mean that the soul and the super soul? We're starting the party now. The soul and the super soul are going in the heart as the doctor takes it out. That soul that was there before is now being taken in that heart and now put into another body, and now that other body is a new person. And that body doesn't have any soul left until another heart goes in, or whatever it is. What does it mean? Who knows what it means? Yes, Chaitanya.
Prabhupada says in the region of the heart.
The region of the heart. Why, you notice, the heart is energized, the blood is energized. Now, when you say, I love you, what do people, just like one of those early slides, it was loving relationships. What was on the screen?
Hearts.
A couple of hearts, right? Three. One was a bit wide, and two were normal. Three hearts over there. Why the heart? Why not the brain? I love you with all my brain. Is that going to impress him? I love you with my stomach. We all know that with a big stomach. There's a lot of love there, but it might be some kind of truth in that, but not, you don't generally say that. I love you with my feet. Take my feet here. Boom. Crash, I love you with my teeth. Ash. People say I love you with all my
heart.
Why? Isn't that where the root of actual emotions and feelings are felt, isn't it? It may go in the brain in certain ways and in terms of the reaction of it, but the actual feeling is right there in the heart, isn't it? It's right there in your inside there somewhere. You can feel it.
I don't know.
Huh?
I don't know.
No, I know you don't know. You're still the artist. When you fall out, you're in the heart. When you fall out, you'll realize it. He's a very expert doctor, so he can put into what they call it when they put bodies into ice box. What they call it?
Cryogenic freezing.
I've never heard that one. But anyway. Sometimes they like to, I think Walt Disney had his body put into deep freeze or something like that. So don't worry, keep chanting, it'll fall out. We have a long chant relationship. Now we joke with each other a little bit now and again. Deepa is just joking also. But the soul, the super soul accompanies the soul. Wherever the super soul is in every atom, by the way, anyway. But as far as what you're talking about, and as far as the guiding of the soul, the super soul never leaves us, even if we're turning our back on the super soul. So wherever the super soul is always there, like washing over, always there guiding us. It's not that the heart itself is like, it's a material thing. Both soul and super soul are not material. They exist even if there's no body. Even if the body is dead or burned to pieces, Krishna says, the soul that is never burst from death. The soul can't be burned by fire, moistened by water, withered, even up here, you can't be withered by the wind. Nothing. The soul cannot be, it's indestructible. So the soul is apart from it. But it happens, when in this body, and the soul, the center, you could say, the location of the soul is in the region of the heart. But it's not actually a part of the heart. It's not actually the heart itself.
Now, the, on the other side, you have truth in what you say, I would say. The body is indeed the energy of Krishna. It's not our body. We temporarily have this body due to our karma and desire, but the body is actually the energy of Krishna. It belongs to Krishna. So if we really love our body, just like if you love your finger, what do you do? Or if you love anybody?
Feed the stomach.
Pardon?
Feed the stomach.
Well, you feed the stomach, but you look after your finger, right?
Mm-hmm.
You look after it. You say, I don't care about my finger. That's not my fault. But you cut your finger off. You cut your finger off.
You look after the whole body.
Huh?
You look after the whole body.
You look after the whole body, including the finger, including the nail. If you break your nail, everything, you know, becomes, because it's part of the body. So everything is part of Krishna's energy. Not the fellowship of the Lord. That everything is Krishna's energy. Everything. So we have to see it in relation with Krishna, the body. Not just, it's my body. Krishna is in my body. Sometimes you think like that. What's he doing in my body? Hey, get out of here, Krishna. This is my body. Yeah, you're trying to take over my body, eh? Like a ghost or something. Get out of my body. Get your own body if you're in. Don't you dare come into my body. It's not like that. It belongs to Krishna. We're actually like the tenant, in one sense, in Krishna's body. And Krishna's energy. Now we have to, therefore we try to look after the body in a way which will be beneficial or pleasing to Krishna. Because if you please Krishna, automatically will be pleased. That's the art. The whole purpose of human life is to learn how to utilize our mind also, as another body, subtle body, and the gross body, the physical body, in a way which is pleasing to Krishna. And that's the process we should get into Krishna. Bhakti says if we engage our senses, our body, our mind, our words, in a way which is pleasing to Krishna India, to please Krishna senses. We have the idea. And so there's the two sides of it. So yes, we do, in that sense, you could say love, but not in the material sense of love, but in a transcendental sense. We may not be on that platform, but that's what the process of devotional service is, the process which leads to that transcendental understanding. Because if you're engaged in devotional service, chanting, hearing, worshipping, remembering, and so on, you're automatically being connected with Krishna, knowingly or unknowingly. You may not know, but if you touch electric fire, you're going to feel the heat. You may not know, you may know. So it's simply coming in contact with Krishna consciousness through the right media, through the through the pure devotees of the Lord, through Śrīla Prabhupāda and the Parampara, and through the devotees, pure devotees, connect us. We may not know, but they're connecting our body, they're connecting our mind with Krishna. And gradually, gradually, gradually we'll become purified and realize how everything is connected to Krishna and how we are also connected to Krishna and how Krishna is actually present in one sense in everything. That's a realization. So for the time being, just try to engage your body. That's the best. If you love your body, try to engage in Krishna's service. Don't destroy it by eating things which are unfavorable, both physically and spiritually, and doing things like intoxication, which disturb the very, you know, can't settle and gross body terribly, and things like that. You know, exploiting the body, use it for the best benefit of yourself and for others, and for Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, time has expired. We'll have questions and answers this evening. Please take a look. If you have any questions, try to write them down or do something about it. Don't just leave it to your memory. Every time you ask a question, it almost always takes. Well, I had a lot of questions, but I can't remember anything right now. So please, like it. Kali Yuga Prabhupada said remembrance means remembering to write it down. So please write it down. Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much. Yuga Prabhupada.
Jai.